You are listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM Community Radio for East Central Illinois, streaming online at weft.org.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, there is a little bit of feedback here. Let me see if I can adjust this a little bit. Make it a little better. Okay. Oh, okay, great. All right, this morning I've got Dr. Boone in the house with me. And I am Eunice Buckner Boone. This is Higher Ground. And there's a little bit of feedback on my mic, on my earphones. Okay. Oh, it's getting better. Better. This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers that do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associates, station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated. Higher Ground is here. Let's go forward together. Sing the chant of the freedom of man. I'm going to play I'm playing this from my YouTube off my iPad, so it may not have been very clear. But, you know, when I started Higher Ground a long time ago, first started Higher Ground, actually the name Higher Ground came from Doug Karn and Gene Karn's song Higher Ground. And I love the name Higher Ground. Mm-hmm. And that's how I chose the name Higher Ground for Higher Ground.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it wasn't from Stevie Wonder's song.
Well, it wasn't. It could have been from Stevie Wonder's song Higher Ground, but no, it was actually from this particular couple.
Okay.
Several other ones. This one here, the chant, this one, Let's Go Forward Together, mm-hmm. and Higher Ground, both of those songs were usually the ones that I used to introduce Higher Ground.
Mm-hmm.
When I started Higher Ground. And okay. I did it for years. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking through YouTube last night, I thought about those songs. And I was wondering if they were on here. Because I've had albums, you know, they've gotten gone and CDs gone of my Doug Karn, Gene Karn. So anyway, it made me reminisce about the fact that Higher Ground, that was a song that I used, was Let's Go Forward Together in Higher Ground. So I will be playing some of that today. And it would be nice, I thought about it too, to know what the anniversary would be of Higher Ground. I don't know what anniversary. When did it start? I would have to go back. There were some tapes that we saw in the garage yesterday of recorded shows.
Mm-hmm.
I would say somewhere around 90. I'm not sure. But either way, don't want to digress. But thank you, Robert, for being here today. We're going to be, think the theme, if you can catch it, the last time we were on, what was the theme? I can't remember what the theme was. But we had, I had Dr. Ted Sikowski, who was an integrative medical doctor in classical Chinese medicine doctor. Integrative, both of those together, allopathic and Chinese medicine.
And classical Chinese medicine.
Yes. And so, it's also called traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so he was here, and so I think that I forgot what the theme was then. I didn't really have a theme, but there was a theme. I said there's a thread of consciousness running through what was discussed. And I thought the conversation was very informative as well as motivational for me, because even when you think about health, you think about, you're not talking about your body part only, the part that hurts or the part that's, or the absence of any sort of symptoms of pain or discomfort. But the word health is actually more than that. We talked about that. So I think today we will continue this conversation about health. And so I've invited for the second hour, Dana Macuso. Now, she is the, let me see here, marketing, I'll see what her title is. My notes over there somewhere. Here. Yes. Mancuso, she's a public information and marketing manager at the Urbana Park District. And one of the reasons why I decided to invite someone from the Park District is because in the mornings, on Saturday mornings at Meadowbrook Park, there is free yoga in the park classes. And I'm not quite sure when this started, but I know that last summer, last summer there was yoga in the park. And so Meadowbrook is where I often walk because it's not too far from where I live and quite close to where I live, as a matter of fact. And so I'm walking last Saturday, and there they were discontinuing their yoga class. And so I asked them, is there someone who would be interested in speaking? And so I'm trying to think what was the woman who's a coordinator. I think her name is Elsie. But anyway, she couldn't do it today because she'll be in the park. So she found someone else. And so Dana is going to be with us today to talk about the Urbana Park District. Did you know that the Urbana Park District mission is to improve the quality of life of its citizens through a responsive, efficient, and creative park and recreation system? Pursue excellence in a variety of programs, parks, and special facilities that contribute to the attractiveness of neighborhoods, conservation of the environment, and overall health of the community. And how is this accomplished? Of course, through community engagement, community focus, of course, and the intention is to improve the quality of life. And so how do we do that? How is that done? And do you ever think about all the things that the park district does for us? All the programs and what it does to beautify our community. You know, all the little bitty parks we have.
Right. And even the Tai Chi class that we take is part of the park district. And they include other health kind of activities for children and adults.
Exactly.
And they even provide, the park district even provides the dog park.
That's exactly right, Robert.
And so
where I got a...
How this can all be attached to healthiness.
Exactly. And so the theme is going to be health, and she will be talking about a variety of things that the park district is involved in. I think recently in the news there was a public input meeting regarding the rehabilitation of the Crystal Lake and its surroundings. Mm-hmm. And this was held on July 15th. And the community was invited who wanted to comment on what they thought needed to be done or their ideas. And if you haven't done so, you can still do that. Leave a comment by going to www.urbanaparks.org/projects and give your input. So, yes, the Urbana Park District does quite a bit in order to take care of the environment and to improve our overall quality of our health. And when you think about an organism, do you think about it in parts or you think about it in whole? And I think that's really what's important too when we think about, well, how do we take care of all of us? Because if some of us are not well, then all of us are going to reap the consequences of all of us not being in all of its parts not being well. So I think this conversation will be wonderful because of all the things that the Urbana Park District does in order to contribute to our overall health and the health of the community, well-being. Mm-hmm. You want to say something, Robert?
Oh, I was just thinking that we saw that little comment on, not a little comment, I won't qualify it, the comment on Facebook earlier this week that someone transposed illness and removed the I from illness and replaced it with we, and it becomes wellness.
Oh, so that wasn't you. That was someone else.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So in that same respect, that is, you know, line of thinking, is that as we move from being, focus on I so much and more on we can really come up with a solution as far as wellness. But if I'm focused on just me, then I'm going to be not, I won't have the resources to attain wellness. It's going to require all of us.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it, Robert? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, when you think about it, we are all of us here, so mm-hmm. there's no way around that, is it?
No.
Mm. Amazing. Okay, let me see what else. So, and also, Robert, we're going to talk about health, too.
Yes.
Not in a more in a constructive way, too, when we think about health. What are we doing that is improving the way we define or identify or relate to what it means to be healthy? Mm-hmm. It's not like we're not doing anything. It's not like it's all about problems. No, it isn't. We're talking about changes that are being made, and also our conscious awareness and being mindful about this is not apart from us. This is who we are. And what ends up happening sometimes is that we talk about health in parts, or we talk about disease or dis-ease in part. So there's been a lot of dis-ease in the news. Dis-ease in the news lately. And sometimes you don't know where or what to hold accountable for all the dis-ease that is in the news. So if we talk about the many deaths through violent deaths, and especially in the news lately, death while in police custody or when stopped by a police officer, this creates a great deal of dis-ease in people because lives are lost. Now, I'm not just talking about that particular type of death, but this one particular one has been in the news. It's almost as if people are saying there's a conspiracy to eliminate or to kill or to incarcerate Black people or people of color, Latinos or Spanish-speaking persons, Native Americans, whatever person of color. It's like, okay, let's attack them. That does not create a sense of well-being in a community or the citizens in this country. We're at constant alert or anxiety about our well-being. So that's one thing. Not one thing, but one of many things, because then we have to look at the social constructs or how our society is really functioning. What is not working and why isn't it working? Why don't we want it to work? So we have to look at ourselves, because we can't just go, well, it's them. These problems about how we treat the whole have been here as long as I've been alive. And I believe that we are all part of this whole organism, which is this universe. And that extends beyond the earth, but way, and it just keeps, you know, from what we know about the universe, the universe is expansive and billions of light years exist in existence. And we think about our little 60 years or 40 years or 30 years or whatever. We are attached to this physical body. And being attached to your physical body, you think very selfishly about how to preserve it, how to take care of it for the sake of you and your family or your relationships. But that's not how this organism, which is a breathing organism, this universal organism, functions. So we're quite dependent on it, and it depends on our awareness of that and our knowing that and our living in that understanding that every breath we take is also taken in union and unison with this whole organism here. And when we no longer breathe, that the cells or remnants of whatever is left of this body that we no longer occupy is also part of this breathing organism, this organism that keeps on going, you know. So even if we only think in terms of our only little lifespan, that is really not enough, okay? So what would that require us to do is to begin now, not focusing on only the problems that we are. I think a lot of our issues that we have created, in fact, the word issues, is a word we've invented in order to separate ourselves from one another, separate our beingness from itself in parts. You know, these parts I like, these parts of myself I don't like. I want to be more like this. I like this better. I got to do this first before I get to that part. And it's like creating problems when there aren't any. Now, can you imagine that there aren't any problems? I know you want to breathe that in a little bit. But if you are ill and, you know, with a condition and it affects you, some sort of disability, say you were in an accident recently and, you know, now you can't walk. I'm not taking lightly conditions and situations where a loved one is sick and you want them to be better. I'm not making light of that. What I am saying, though, that too often our focus is on problems. We're a problem that has to be fixed, or we have to prevent problems from occurring. When we think about our health, when we think about our well-being, when we think about our earth, our universe, we don't think of it as a problem. We think of it as a gift or as a blessing or wonder, something to be awestruck about, inquisitive about it, about ourselves, wanting to know it, to take care of it. It's not a problem. But how to appreciate that? Well, you have to have self-appreciation. Self. Meaning you don't see yourself in parts, but you say, today, right now, right now, this moment, right now, is a good time, is the best time. Mm-hmm. And the way I am in this moment right now is the best time for me to be as I am. And not the I of the ego, not the ego I, but the I of the self, which is the I that we all are peering through.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the connected self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm connected to Eunice. And all of you.
Exactly. Right. This I that is, says, Muji says, not my eyes. We don't say I eyes. We don't say I arm, I leg, I life, I car. We say my car, my legs, my life, my eyes. We say that. Those parts are not all that I am. They're manifestations, but they are not the I that we are peering through. So when we peel away all this identity of self connected to, what is it, problems, connected to race, connected to gender, connected to family, connected to neighborhood, city, town, country,
you know, jobs,
little identities, you know, and we get away from the, not the ego I, but the I in which we are all peering through. We are all perceiving our existence. We are all perceiving the universe through I, this I understanding. then the self doesn't need improving. It's perfect, it's whole, and it's complete. And we don't see ourselves as a problem. Because it's not a problem. Excuse me. It's not a problem unless we perceive it as a problem. And if it's not a perceived as a problem unless we are making it a problem.
Mm-hmm. You see? It could be the problems or the illusions.
Well, we're going to talk about that some. Let's talk about the illusions of problems when we talk about healthcare in terms of, okay, what is health and how do we access health? How does Dr. Boone treat health when people come into his realm with acute cases? And he's there to do that, but he cannot. Does he look at the whole person? Does he look in part? And how does that system in which he is employed supports? And is it changed over time to him? Has he changed his outlook or his inward look? Not look out, but inward look out. So we need to talk about that too. Hopefully you understood some of the stuff that I was saying. I do need to make an announcement though. It's coming up. It fell on the floor. At the Art Theater, playing daily at the Art Theater, is Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse that has won worldwide acclaim from everyone except her parents and continues its run for a second week at the Art Theater. The well-known and loved sequel to Alien is the movie Aliens, a great sci-fi flick packed with plenty of thrills and chills, will also screen this week. All dates and times are available at www.arttheater.coop/full-schedule. Okay. Another announcement. This hour of programming is brought to you by Kevin Elliott Counseling, with a diverse group of 30 licensed therapists providing individual, group, family, and marital therapy. Kevin Elliott Counseling is located at 309 West Clark Street near downtown Champaign. For more information, call 217-398-9066 or see Kevin Elliott, Kevin, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, counseling.com. Okay. I'm trying to decide. I have so much. I always prepare so much. There's so much I want to, well, I do want to share. Maybe I'll share a little something from I'm trying to think, Robert. It's so many things I'd like to share. I know Science of Mind.
How about Science of Mind?
Was really good. You think?
I didn't read it this morning, but I'm sure I'd like to hear it.
Okay, so I'm going to read Science of Mind because I thought it was good too. Because it, once again, affirm or deny, as I was talking about health and you find yourself not feeling well, say, well, that's an illusion, that's a delusion, or that's not so. No, that's not what I'm saying. But, not but. What I am saying, Science of Mind says it in its own way. This is a daily, and we'll see what it says. Reading. Affirm God or deny evil. Mm. Ouch. My foot is itching. Ooh. Excuse me. Starts off a quote by Ellen Debenport, The Five Principles. Humans, even as violent as we seem to be, are the first species to understand that we have the capacity to change. And then a Science of Mind quote from the book, page 217, to affirm the presence of God is better than to deny the presence of evil. All right. What does this mean? Have you ever struggled with the concept of oneness, the unity of all life? It can be especially challenging for us on the human plane, since so much of life as we know it begins, exists, and then dies. This looks very much like a clear beginning, middle, and end. And yet it is our unity with spirit while in human form that creates that experience we call life. What looks like evil cannot be a power separate from us. No, it's not what we want to have as an ongoing part of our lives. It is, however, the result of choices we or others have made. The question is how we choose to deal with the situation. We can change, we can choose, and if need be, we can choose again and again and again. That which we focus upon increases. It doesn't matter to the universe if that is on the unity of all life or what is being blasted across our televisions and mobile devices. We can choose to fill our minds by watching the online video of some disaster for the 9th or 10th time, or we can nurture our souls with encouraging writings and living life to the fullest. This is not to say we ignore the news locally or globally, but seriously, how many times do we have to watch the plane crash, the 20-car pileup, or the explosion caused by a gas leak? Probably just to know that it happened is enough. One time, a minister I knew called another spiritual leader for prayer treatment. After a few minutes of silence on the other end of the phone, the one calling asked, "Are you listening?" "Well," he responded, "I'm doing my best not to." "Another minute and you'll have me believing you." That's what he said. Mm-hmm. What shall we believe? To what shall we give our attention? How do we want to experience life around us? "I see only good around me," the affirmation says. "I relax into the peace of knowing that God is in charge and all is well. I give thanks for peace and prosperity." Mm-hmm. For those of you who says, "Oh, now this is public affairs and God, 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 who wants to hear God doing public affairs?" I think of God as source. I don't know if God is a being or it or whatever. I just know that
it's a source.
That whatever the source of you and me and all of this, we're all part of that universal, cosmic, unexplainable thing, you know, that connects us to the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And we rely on this source of whatever beingness. And so I have to, you know, I have to acknowledge that thinking selfishly for myself, only to myself, is not sufficient. In fact, it is it's not good. So I choose not to do what is not good for me and what is not good for you. So this wholeness, this allness of being that includes me, you, and all of us requires that I make bigger adjustments in terms of my own thinking about life and my existence here. And so therefore, I got to speak my truth, you know, as I understand it. And what is true is that I don't have any control over this. I have very little control of all of this, even of myself. But what I'm going to do, realizing that I don't need to be in control of even that portion of myself, that I am free to be me, whole and complete. And I invite all of us to do that. Anything less than that for yourself, that freedom, that truth, I'd say, as Muji says, jump over yourself, you know. There was a story that in this book is called The Diamond in Your Pocket by Ganga Ji. And she tells the story of this diamond dealer who loved diamonds and precious gems and decided he was finally going to buy this gem he'd been thinking about for a long time, this diamond. And there's this famous thief who was also watching this diamond connoisseur, whatever, person who loved expensive diamonds and really good diamonds. And the thief loved stealing them. And so he watches this person purchases Diamond, and he follows him for over 3 days on the train and hotel, various places to steal the diamond. This thief is really good at it. He's been known to steal the best diamonds, and his skills are, you know, are well known. So after this lengthy attempt to try to find this diamond, steal it, he approaches the man and he tells him, he says, you know, I've been trying to steal this diamond for a long time, and I haven't been able to do it. And why do you think he couldn't steal the diamond? Well, the man tells him, he says, you know why? Because the diamond is in your pocket. You are the diamond. All of us are looking out, looking for diamonds, looking for the diamond that's going to complete us. We're all looking for the legislation, the decision to say, yeah, you're welcome here. You can come in this neighborhood, or you can't come in this neighborhood. We're all looking to make ourselves into diamonds when we're already
diamonds.
Right. Even the ones you're denying are diamonds. So breathe that in, you know, just breathe it in. Even if you're wherever your situation, your condition is, breathe it in. Don't just breathe it in for yourself, but just breathe it in for all of us. We're all diamonds. And we don't have to go looking. So, hey, Robert. Yes. Health. I've got to define health. According to the World Health Organization, health is a complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely absence of disease or infirmity. Health, the general condition of the body or mind with reference to soundness and vigor. Soundness of body or mind, the state of being free from illness or injury. According to McKinley Health Center, the University of Illinois, wellness is a state of optimal well-being that is oriented toward maximizing an individual's potential. This is a lifelong process of moving towards enhancing your physical, intellectual, emotional, social, spiritual, and environmental well-being. Health is defined as the absence of
disease.
Yeah, soundness and vigor.
You know, and you know, if you go back to reading today's Science of the Mind, you see the same, you hear the same analogy about what God is. You know, are we going to focus on God, or are we going to focus on the absence of evil? So it's the same thing. If we focus more on our well-being, then we're not going to spend so much time trying to prevent disease. They're not the same thing.
Okay.
They're not the same thing. They're not the same activities. One, there's a sense of peace. And the other is a sense of anxiety and fear. You know, so like living, I'm going to focus on living rather than focus on not dying. So our energy and our well-being is at stake here. You know, so today's... Or this episode of discussion is based upon how do we what's happening within our physical, our personal space, and also how our relationships and our also is part of our well-being.
But see, once again, you're referring to it as being part.
Yeah.
Is it a part or part of or?
I think it's in the conversation, you know, being mindful or watchful of our words. Our words have meaning, have significance, have power. and how we view our how I view my words affect how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as I say apart, you know, I mean, it's so ingrained within me. You know, there's so many different ways it's expressed, this ingrainedness or this sense of disease awareness versus wellness being that I have. And I don't think I'm that unique,
mm-hmm.
that it's not shared by many other people.
Yeah, it's conditioning. You know, we look at the body in parts, you know, the structural health, physical health, the mental health. So let's say, Robert, as a physician who has been practicing medicine for over, what, 40 years?
No, for 30 years.
It's not 40.
I graduated from med school in 83, so that's like 32 years.
Okay. It feels like longer. So, however, you've had a lot of experience with how we look at the body. We look at that being, that individual who comes to see you. How has your understanding of health, when they say you are a medical doctor, this person's coming to see you. You worked at Francis Nelson for many years, and these were people who were underserved, denied access to health care, which was why Francis Nelson was even
created.
We've started, yes, because African Americans were not getting adequate
access to care.
And now it's turned into this, once again, where everybody, and for the longest time, Francis Nelson did not turn people away. So this idea, though, as a doctor, community health doctor, an emergency room doctor, what have you understood? What do you realize about health?
You know, what I visualize, you know, from working at Francis Nelson, and now I'm working strictly in the emergency room, there's not much change. The people I see are still the same people, maybe different ages, maybe.
But you saw different ages as Francis Nelson,
you know,
too.
You know, different occupations, different things, but they still seem to be the same people.
Okay, so what is it?
What's the same is that there's an underlying fear of access, of lack of not having access. There's a fear of not being able to take care of themselves or their family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a frustration in their ability to attain this. And then there's a degree of anger that, you know, they're put in a position where they can't have what they perceive as what WHO is saying about wellness. They say, I live my life sick. I live my life in such a way as that I cannot accomplish what I visualized I would in kindergarten. And now I'm 55, and I don't see it happening. So there's this degree of anger. And this, and all these different feelings, and we can't. And once again, in medicine, there's a degree of wanting to separate. And it started my first day in med school, where things were divided into parts. So, when a person's mental health is not separated from their physical or spiritual or sociological health, so. You know, back in med school, we divided everything up into different sections, anatomy, biochemistry, biology, physical chemistry, all these different things were physiology. I didn't mean physical chemistry, physiology. All these things are divided up. Even anatomy, we started with a cadaver, but we only saw parts of it at a time. So being divided in parts seemed to be something that started long time ago. And just to reference this, and you didn't see this in paper today, and I wonder, maybe we ought to go back to it or look at life in that particular way. And on here, it talks about a Rhodes Scholar. And these people were talking about they're moving this one-room schoolhouse from one place to another. And then it made me think, in a one-room schoolhouse, because, you know, I grew up in Chicago, and we had kindergarten, we had first grade, second grade, third grade, high school, middle school, you know, high school. In a one-room schoolhouse, and I never experienced it, but it made me think. In a one-room schoolhouse, you had little kids, you had middle-aged kids, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, and you had older kids, 15, 16, 17-year-old, all in the same classroom with a teacher teaching all of them at the same time. So, you know, I can see how that one-room schoolhouse, the younger kids would look up to the teacher and the older kids for assistance and advice. The middle kids would look at ways of talking to the younger kids and maybe teaching them and escorting them around through life within the classroom. And the older kids and the teacher would look at each other as assistants and mentors. And then they would also be learning to teach at the same time. So if we were looking at our community, where you have younger people, middle-aged people, and older people sharing in this connectivity that we teach and we learn. We learn and we teach. We share rather than this divided, compartmentalized, separated sense that we have where we, as a teacher, I'm not sure if I can teach. As a kid, I'm learning. I don't know if I can learn. And as the person in the middle said, I don't know what's going on. but together, we can see where it begins and sort of where it ends. So in life, we can sort of see. So there won't be so much anxiety about things. So you ask me what I see in the emergency room. I might see an 18-year-old young lady who comes in with her 9-month-old baby. And she's saying, my baby is sick. Maybe I look at the baby, and maybe the baby is laughing, bouncing around, you know, very active, but it's been maybe throwing up or spitting up his food, or maybe it fell and hurt his leg, but now it's moving around and healthy and happy. But the mother is perplexed, you know, what am I going to do about my baby? Or she's thinking, you know, did I do something wrong? Am I skilled? But where is the grandmother or the great-grandmother or the other people who would have been within this classroom and telling her, it's okay, baby, you're doing all right. Or you should do this, put some ice on it. Or on the little baby's arm or leg that just, you know, when it failed. Or
little baby, are you sure, Robert, this is a little baby? You're confusing me now.
9-month-old.
Okay, you said little baby's bouncing around and stuff.
9-month-old
it
baby.
It fell off the table? Where did it fall from?
Maybe it fell off the couch.
Oh, just a little fall? Okay, not that, just that. Okay.
You know, maybe it fell off the couch. But it's not hurt so bad. But because of a young lady's experience, she's not sure what the outcomes are going to be. Whether or not this is something that's going to be a lifelong disability, or is it going to be something that, you know, next day the baby's going to be okay? In which case, in this one, the baby's going to be okay. But the mother, because of her inexperience, doesn't know that. So she needs to be reassured and taught along the way. This is a on-the-job training. You're learning as you go. Mm-hmm. And so within our society, because of the separationness that we have of things, there's no encouragement, but there's not enough of this teaching, learning, sharing, benefit that we would have in a one-room schoolhouse that they would have, you know. So the answer would be the one-room schoolhouse and how we should see our neighborhoods, our cities, our states, maybe our worlds, is that we share in life. That's what we all do. We share in life. We all are born, grow up, and eventually pass on. So we share that. So if we look at how we share things, then there's no differences. There's less differences.
So in the emergency room, so you work in an environment where are you sharing information about wellness? I mean, how much of that?
We really don't share much information about wellness. At times, because of my experiences and my, you know, concerns, you know, when there's a time, a special a person that comes in, then I can share with that say that 18-year-old young lady with the baby, you know, and I am not quite so busy at that moment. I might sit down next to her and maybe hold the baby to reassure her and play with the baby and interact with the baby, showing her that I'm looking at the whole child. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, by sitting next to her, I'm showing her that I'm not above or below. I'm not critical, mm-hmm. you know, so that she can relax and tend to herself and the baby. Mm-hmm. And so I would have a chance to be a one-room schoolhouse with her. Mm-hmm. Other times, if a person is, you know, their mental status is such that they can't learn, then I might not have, or their illness is such so critical that I don't have time for that. Then I don't. Mm-hmm. I won't. I may touch them, look at them, and show them with my eyes and my hands that I care. But as far as the same information, it's a different person, different treatment, mm-hmm. you know. And you look at the whole, you know, you might address that with their family or whoever brings them in about that particular concern, and where do you go from here. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we give information and instructions, you know, that are very important. You know, may not be that, you know, people can understand them at that point, but there's something written down that they can look at about their particular issue when they came in. Mm-hmm. And so there is some communication, there is some movement to address that, mm-hmm. but it's not enough, and it's too compartmentalized to do enough. And then that, what's the person going to be the next day, mm-hmm. the next week? Is there going to be follow-up? Mm-hmm. You know, I had the advantage working in an office that I can have a person come back 2 days, next week, or next month, or whatever. And so we can both learn from the progression or the improvement of this particular situation in which they came in the first place. So there are ways, there can be ways of addressing this, but it's with we have to come back to the concept of that we share. We share resources, we share care. Mm. And we must care for ourselves by being honest and open to our capabilities, my own health. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a share. It's what I see, I learn. And what I learn, I share. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of lost for words, Robert, so.
Mm. Well, so am I. So
uh-oh,
lost for words, but I'm just saying the words are the words that we speak right now. Mm. You know, everyone out there has a word out there that they can share. They can show us. So we got back to, you know, our perception of illness and mm-hmm. wellness. Mm-hmm. The focus has to get back to where we're going to focus is on wellness, and not to spend so much time in disease.
And I think that we're creating the focus being on problems and issues and disease that the focus has become mostly on that and seeing ourselves as a organism that is full of problems and disease to yes. the fact that we're designing systems that only support problems yeah. and disease. And the intention is to take the focus off of the disease and the problems and to make and provide solutions that eliminate the problems, not keep going over the problems.
Mm-hmm. Like earlier this week, we talked about the whole, you know, the perceived.
The H-O-L-E.
Yes.
The H-O-L-E, the perceived.
Not the W-H-O-L-E.
H-O-L-E.
Yes.
Okay.
The perceived hole or deficit in our being. As I see myself or part of myself as being a whole, you know, as being a person who wants to fix the whole, I'm gonna shovel something in resources, dirt, energies into the hole to fill it up so it's level again. But if it's an illusion, a delusion, and there really isn't a hole, you know, creating, you know, like that young lady who thought that she had, there was a hole there because her baby had fallen off the couch and hurt itself.
And even though she came to the emergency room, she was frightened that she might get called on by DCFS or to say, oh, you're a neglectful mother, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so. Right.
So she perceives
yeah,
a hole.
Even when she's going to get help to fill the hole.
Right. So okay. there is no illness here.
Yeah, got you.
But she's putting resources and
we
time
are. Mm, and we
and
are.
Energy mm-hmm. into filling up this
hole.
That's not there. So what you end up, if you fill up a place that really is a hole with dirt, you get a mound.
M-O-U-N-D.
You get a mound. Mm. That's now, you know, if you look at people who say, you know, it's just a different analogy, you know, that perceive hunger as being their whole. Mm-hmm. So there's an overeating. Mm-hmm. To now with the person who was trying to be starved.
Right. Not feel that
now
the empty feeling.
Obesity.
Now you got, right.
You have obesity.
Now you have too much. Hunger. I'm hungry for something. I need something. Go and buy something. Go and get some medicine. So now you have a lot of medicine. You got a lot of stuff. You got to, we're constantly trying to
fill up
something that we think is missing, and it is external to the whole organism.
Right. And so this obesity doesn't necessarily have to be fat around your middle.
Right. Not only that.
It also could be, you know, having 7 stereos or, you know, 10 cars or $10 billion in the bank account. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a perceived hole, you know, or I'm going to get $1 billion so that my great, 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 great grandchildren are going to be taken care of. Mm. Okay.
Wow, that is what is,
you know, you know, but in reality, it's only now we got.
And why is it now? And everything that is now enough.
Because there's a conditioning.
Exactly.
That there's a hole.
And so.
That you have, there's a lack.
So what are you going to do, Dr. Boone? So this is my question. This is my statement. Okay, not question, statement. I think it's maybe whatever.
A question, statement.
This thing I'm doing here. Yeah. Okay, so from where you were to where you are now, how have you changed? What has changed for you?
One is self-honesty. Mm. You know, looking at things, learning, if not knowing now, but making an effort, an activity of sorts to say, I want to know the truth, the truth based upon not just my anxiety, you know, but the God that we talked about, instead of focusing on the lack or the evil, the less evil, but the more God, the more goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to know the truth about myself and the fact that I have these. I have the potential. I have, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and say, who am I is good. It's okay. It's how it was produced. You know, how it was conceived, how it was evolved. The tree doesn't worry about being less of a tree. It just thinks about...
It doesn't think at all.
Mm-mm. It just produces leaves. And
whatever
fruit.
It does.
Whatever it does.
So how
so
do you do
as
that?
As a person, I'm going to look at myself and take care of what I have. Mm. I want to maintain. I want to look at everything about me instead of a part of me.
Yeah. So that means you have to look at everything and be really
open, being
open
about it.
And very honest. And that is really difficult to do because feeling a hole will require, number one, to believe in something that is false. You know, it's a delusion is not true, right? So we're trying to fill some imaginary hole, and then we have to maintain the imaginary hole. So even if we try to fill it, it can never be filled. So
and
this,
didn't even need to be filled.
So this radical honesty would peel away a lot of the delusions and identities that we have about what makes us separate and distinct from other people and from other experiences. We're going to have to wrap up because we got our guests here today now, other guests. But I was reading something and it just kind of, I just lost it now. Darn it. Oh, I can't remember what the thought was. I just lost it.
Is it about something?
Of course it is.
Event?
About as current as, you know, my readings and stuff, Robert. But anyway, let's not digress. Okay. It may come back.
Okay.
But thinking about what you said about this radical honesty, you didn't say radical honesty, but I am saying, what else is there but to be
radically honest?
Really? And radical honesty is not about being mean. It's really about telling the truth about who you really are. And so, it was Amy Beckham. I was going to play her duality TED Talks, but we don't have time to hear her. But she says, when someone says to her, I don't see your gayness or the fact that you're a lesbian or I don't see your blackness or I don't see your, she says, when you say that, she says, if you're saying you don't see me. And what she meant by that is by saying, well, because I don't see color, I don't see this, I don't see gender, I don't see blah, blah, blah. But do you see the conditioning that goes along with these particular identities that has been formulated within our system of how we treat people and how we do things, you know? So if a person says, I don't see your color, then I sort of see what you're saying, but I sort of don't see what you're saying. Because you're separating yourself in a way from the experiences that are specifically sometimes directed towards people of color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain behaviors that are systemically designed, and you, by not recognizing that, may not speak up about it because you don't see it. So you have to see it to speak up about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, oh, I just don't see it. See it, and you have to say something.
Yeah. Honor our eyes, huh?
Well, honor the eye.
E-Y-E.
Well, actually, I wasn't thinking E-Y-E. I was thinking I.
You were?
Yeah, the eye. Uh-huh. The eye that we're all perceiving through. We're not seeing through my eyes. Mm-hmm. See, we don't say I. We say my eyes,
right.
My arm, my car. Remember the analogy I gave the other day that Muji gave? He says, if someone was stealing your car, was taking your car and hauling it away, and you're sitting in a restaurant and you notice that they're hauling your car away, you wouldn't run out there and say, oh, you're stealing iCar. You would say, you're stealing my car. Mm-hmm. So we don't say my arm. We say, we don't say I arm. We say my arm. So what is perceiving all of this? Mm-hmm. It's the I it's am. I am. Mm-hmm. All of us are perceiving through this I am. You notice? You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can see what she said. So do see and then say something about it. Do something about it. Like this one, I think it was in Science of Mind too, where this man said this lady was making a big deal about the paper on the ground. And he said, I just went over and picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you see it and then you
do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You be truthful. Be the truth. There's nothing lacking that says I can't do that. Whatever that thing I can do. And there was another one too. I was looking where this man said this was in a guidepost, and this person, this young man was disabled from a car accident, from an accident, and so he wasn't able to move his limbs easily anymore. He couldn't hardly feed himself. And so he wanted to help paint the home that his parents were selling. And he couldn't do anything because he couldn't hold a brush in his hand. So the man took some tape, construction tape, and put the brush, put his fingers around it, and he was able to do something. You see, so this notion that we have a hole, you know, that a condition, whether we're conditionless, situationless, but there's a hole that needs to be filled, is imaginary. And so with that, we say jump over this ego of limitation that's saying you have to do this, you got to go through this before you get this. No. Jump over yourself. Jump over that self and get to the self.
Okay.
The truth of the matter. Thank you, Dr. Boone.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that one point you made about the anxieties. You said, instead of me making or seeing things through my anxieties, because all of us are confronted with these anxieties every day about whatever's in the news, whatever's going on, this bad
news.
Bad
it's enough
news.
To make you sick.
And exactly, it's to maintain it. And look, we've got Dana in the house. So I'm going to play some music, Dana. Then we're going to go into the portion with Urbana Park District. Higher ground.
Yeah, Urbana Park District.
Yeah. Okay, what is this funky chicken? Who is this?
It sounded like, was it Carter?
Oh.
Rufus Carter? Rufus.
I think this is just her name.
Okay.
This person's name, not.
Okay.
Not them.
The singer.
Time is back to the theater. We will serve you by higher ground.
exactly right, Robert. Speaking truth. And then when you speak it, then you got to be it. It's not easy being married 38 years. Believe me. It isn't. And you know what? Neither should it be like a thing where you say, okay, well, I'm going to be married for 38 years. You do it. For me, it's about being married day to day, today to day, moment to moment. You're deciding whether or not this is what you want to do, because it's a living, you're a living organism. You know, you never stop living, and you have to look at what's there, and you grow, you learn. And if the relationship doesn't grow, then it dies. It grows stagnant. And just counting the years, oh, bull. I'm not doing that. See how honest I am? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it for anybody. Hey, Dana wasn't here to do this one lady on, what's it, divorce court lady, judge. This one woman asked her, she says, how do I find a normal man, a normal guy? And she said, don't go looking for the normal guy. She said, do things that are interesting for yourself. Travel, join groups, book clubs, meet interesting people, go different places and enhance yourself, take some classes. And even if you don't get a normal guy at the end of all of that, she says, look at who you'll be, how you'll be. I thought that was the best advice ever. Mm-hmm. You see?
That's good advice.
Yeah, because we're always looking outside for approval. And then oftentimes we're also looking at each other and we say little things to each other like, oh, I've been married 30 some years. And you're like, really? You all go together? That, I don't know about that. Because we don't know, really. We don't really know how things are, but we think we do based on the little bitty snippets of information and stuff. Don't really tell us anything about the I am. It tells you about an identity, but doesn't tell you about the person, the being. Maybe about the person, but not the being. So anyway, I am so glad you being here today.
Well, thank you for having us, Dana. Or me, on behalf of the Park District. There's lots we could talk about today, so we'll just kind of go where you take us.
All right, let's go taking into the Urbana Park District. I've already read the mission statement, and the mission statement, it says that you are improving the quality of life of the citizens through responsive, efficient, creative recreation system and attractiveness through the pursuit of excellence in a variety of programs, the attractiveness of neighborhoods, conservation, overall health of the community. And so how do you do that? Through community engagement, community focus, and the improving of life overall. So we've got Dana Mancuso.
Mancuso.
All right.
Yeah.
Mancuso. I like that better. Not what did I say? Mucoso?
Yeah.
That didn't even sound right.
That's all right.
That wasn't even near
M-A-N. I've been
M-A-N.
All kinds of interesting things.
No,
so that's all right.
You Mancuso girl. Go ahead. Don't you be that Mancuso. Where did I get Mancuso?
I don't know, but we've got it straightened out now.
I was feeling rather moo-moo. Okay, Mancuso. Is that Italian?
It is Italian. I am personally not Italian, but married the Italian name. So, yes, that is Italian.
Is he very Italian?
No.
No.
No, but he has the Italian name. Oh. So, a little bit. He talks with his hands a lot.
Oh.
So I guess if that's a quality, then yes.
That's what people said. They say Italians speak with their hands
a lot. Yes,
yes. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay, so anyway, and you're the public information and marketing manager there.
Yes, that is my very long title. So I go by marketing manager or public information person or whatever we want to call me. But yes, that's my goal, is to spread the information about the Park District. So this is one good way.
So do you like the Park District?
I use it. And I've been at the Park District for more than 17 years. So
I've
been working there. Yeah.
So tell me about your experience in the Park District.
Oh,
what drew you? Yeah, just tell us about it.
Me?
I think 17 years.
What drew me was I came to the community and I had a different job and saw this position advertised. And it turns out that in my high school and college years, I also worked for my local park district where I grew up. So there was a connection, understood some about programming. I worked as a camp leader. And so I had a little bit of an affinity from my previous work. And I thought, well, this would be a good organization to work for. I have in my career, I've worked for nonprofits and government, and I sort of tend to kind of stay in the service field with marketing. And so I thought it would be a good opportunity, and it all came together, and I've enjoyed it, obviously, or I wouldn't still be here after 17 years. So good.
So were you doing different jobs as at the Park District in those?
No, I've always had this particular niche. It's grown over time as, you know, resources have become available, but it's always been in the marketing.
So what have you done, Dana, in terms of marketing the Park District that's different that you would say since you've been there for the 17 years?
It's different. Well, things have changed, obviously. The most recent change, I guess, is the explosion of social media. When I was first there, that didn't exist, obviously. So, and websites just barely were getting off the ground. So that's just so the changes that have come in electronic communications have probably been the biggest change, the ability to communicate to people instantly rather than having to, you know, wait for an opportunity like this, or, you know, where there's a media outlet to speak with, or through some kind of publication. So being able to do something electronically and change it up and add more messages has been a good change. And we can communicate with people and they can communicate back. They can ask questions, you know, maybe as they wouldn't have before. You know, you can submit a question on the website if you don't know who to ask. So there's a lot of ways you can get feedback from people electronically or communicate with them more often that way. So I've appreciated adding that to the mix.
Oh, okay.
And we still, of course, we're in a kind of a transitional time with that because we still have people who don't use computers and
that
we don't
so
use that kind of stuff. So we're still doing the things that we have done in the past. We still communicate by trying to get out the word via the media or through printed publications too. So we're in both worlds. I don't know if someday all that stuff will go away. Who knows? But right now we're doing a little of all of that.
So you do all that. So you're at the helm of all of this.
I work on that, and I have a graphic designer who works for me who makes everything really pretty and attractive. So that's really very helpful to make it, you know, splash and eye appealing. So, but yeah, that's pretty much what I do is promote the programs, encourage people to participate in activities, have people know about our facilities and parks. So that's my general role.
Awesome. I think you do a superb job, except though, there are a lot of things that I didn't know that the Park District did. You know, I know. Like,
even I'm learning new things, even after 17 years, something still surprised me. So.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the things that they, for instance, like, I'm trying to pick something.
Okay.
The public input into planning and projects.
Yes. So there's, whenever we undertake some kind of upgrade or a new project, we encourage the public to give us their opinion. So the most recent example of that is we're going to work on an improvement plan, a rehabilitation plan for Crystal Lake itself. And so we have some folks who have experience in lake management working with us, but we want input from the community as to, A, how are they currently using the lake and the park around Crystal Lake right now? And then what would they want to see it be like in the future? And so we can use the first part to kind of evaluate the current status of what people do for recreation there. And then we can use that second part is to, as we move through different phases of the project, get something that people are eager to use in the future. So we had a public meeting on the 15th of July, and we had a good turnout. We had more than 40 community folks
come out and
talk with us about what they would like. And we broke people up into different interest groups, too, so they could talk about their particular area. So if they're into wanting trails, they talked about that. Maybe fishing, maybe kind of just general, you know, birding. You know, there are all different kinds of things you can do in the park. And then we're going to take that information and give that to the folks who are helping us with the plan, get something for round one. So we'll have something in the fall that the public can react to as well. We'll put that out on our website. We'll have that available at our facilities for people to look at if they would like to. But in the meantime, if you didn't make it to the meeting and you want to see the preliminary stuff or make a comment, we have a comment form on our website. You can do that from our page called Projects. You can fill that in and just tell us a little bit about, there's five or six questions you can answer, or you can, I have a feeling, because I can't remember exactly, there is a phone number there you can call if you want to just talk to the gal in charge and talk to her in person and give her your input, and she'll take some notes.
I forgot to do a station ID. WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at WEFT.org. This is Higher Ground. Eunice Buckner Boone, Dr. Boone, and Dana Mancuso from the Urbana Park District. Okay, Eunice. Okay. So, you know, I want to ask you, yes. Dana. All right. What was the most way out, far out, or creative idea for what to do for Crystal Lake Park? Did you get any of that? Like something really?
Oh, I was not at that meeting, so I don't know yet.
You don't know?
I don't know yet, but I could find out and let you
know. What about bird poop? I mean,
The reasons why we're actually undertaking the lake rehabilitation, because there has been a very huge increase of geese mm-hmm. that live there year-round, and their poop has, you know, not only kind of makes some of the pathways and grass very unattractive, and you don't want that on your shoes, but also they go in the lake, and so that changes the makeup of the water, and it changes what would live in there, including, and it's not necessarily great for everything. And it, if you've walked by there and seen it bright green, that is a plant that thrives on
poop.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, mm-hmm. fertilization, essentially. We're looking at trying to get it healthier by, you know, reducing the number of geese. We've already put a goose management plan in place, so we have that. People may have heard about that this spring, mm-mm. but we were successful in that. Since geese are a protected federal species, we can't
kill them,
but you can do certain appropriate things that the government says this is an okay way to manage them. One of those is to manage their nests so mm-hmm. that once they have eggs, you can work with those eggs to make sure they don't hatch. Mm-hmm. And so we did that, and mm-hmm. we had lots and lots of success with that. I think we had just very few chicks this year out of all the eggs that were laid. So we had staff working mm-hmm. to prevent the eggs from hatching, and that will ultimately, you know, years and years from now, mm-hmm. as it, you know, will reduce the population. There are other things we're planning to do. Mm-hmm. They don't like high grass. They don't like where they can't see. Mm-hmm. So if we change some of the character of right in front of the water, mm-hmm. they're not going to want to be there. It scares them not knowing what's going on. So mm-hmm. they might move on to mm-hmm. another location that they prefer. So mm-hmm. there's things you can do with the landscape as well as, mm-hmm. as that's part of the plan too. I know also one of the goals is to open up what we call the view shed, open up the view at the corner of Park Street and Broadway. And that's one of the places where right now there's a lot of trees that have grown up there. They're kind of volunteer trees. They're not necessarily even native species. Want to kind of open that up. So when you get to that corner, you can go, oh, look at this huge lake. I didn't even know this was here.
That's right. You can't even see it.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. you know, draws people from the beginning, from that very first mm-hmm. view, and mm-hmm. then they can say, what's this place, and let's go explore it. So there's a lot of parts to it. It'll probably take many phases. That's mm-hmm. how we do some of the projects that cost a lot of money. We say, what can we do in phase one that we have the cash for? What can we do in phase two? And, you know, you can do them in succession, and ultimately the projects get completed.
So what has changed with Urbana, with Crystal Lake Park, since you've been there 17 years?
What has changed? When I started, we had some more regular concerts at the lake with food, but that the lake house is no longer a food venue with concerts, but you can still rent it for your own parties and that kind of thing. I would just have to say it has grown up. There's been a lot more vegetation around, and that's one of the things that we just haven't been able to control. So this plan mm-hmm. will be one of the things we can
awesome.
Can do.
And I like Crystal Lake Park, but I can definitely see what some of the thoughts that I've had when I go there is that it needs more maintenance. You know,
yes.
something, I didn't know quite what it was, but it was something like,
Yep, time to just do it. And what we saw, we had a staff presentation before this, and we got to give our input too, before the public meeting to the staff. And the person in charge of the project did a little bit of history for us. And about every 30 years in our history has been about the time when it's just time to give it a facelift.
Wow, isn't that something?
So 30
years.
About 30 years to give it a boost. And
that's how long we've been here.
30 years.
Oh, it's time. Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing about that. Now, another thing that I find quite fascinating, too, about the Urbana Park District is the volunteers. You use volunteers for quite a bit, don't you?
We do.
There's a citizen advisory.
Yeah, we rely on them for lots of things. They You mentioned the Citizen Advisory Committee. That's Urbana Park District Advisory Committee. We, of course, everybody's got an acronym, so we call that group UPDAC, Urbana Park District Advisory Committee. And they are an appointed group by the Park Board. You can self-select for that, so you can submit yourself to be part of that, and then the board has to appoint these people every year at one of their meetings. But they meet on a monthly basis, and they then work in subcommittees on different areas that they decide are interesting to them. So in the past, we've had a group that helped us with the Crystal Lake pool issue when we were deciding what to do with the older facility and how we moved forward with that. We've had groups work on programming issues, and that group has continued group working on trails and how we can improve trails throughout the district. So there are a lot of subgroups that they can be part of. And then they also kind of end up by default going to Park District School. So the staff give them information at all these meetings, and they learn a lot more about the day-to-day operations of the Park District, what happens, and then they can be the eyes and ears out in the community. They can share this information with their neighbors, and then they can bring concerns back. So what the goal is to try and have good representation throughout the whole community, have people living near all of our parks and facilities, and they can bring, you know, say, oh, my neighbor noticed at X park there was this. What's this all about? Or my neighbor noticed at this facility there was this. Can you tell us about it? So they can bring those concerns back. We can either give them an explanation or address it from there. And they've been a great resource. They've been around since 1971. We've had a group. So many, many years. One of the first ones in the state as far as a park district having a citizen advisory group.
Mm-hmm. And how large is this group?
About 15 people on average. People. Yeah. So some years it's been more, some years it's been a couple less, depending on the interest. Mm-hmm. But this year we've got a new crop. We've new crop of folks come every year. They serve on 3-year rotational terms. So there's always some more seasoned members with brand new people. Mm-hmm. So people come in and do this for 3 years. And then we start every year when the school year starts. So in August, you'll count a new service year.
Mm-hmm. So how many volunteers at the park district actually?
Oh my goodness. What I remember is more than, you know, thousands of hours of volunteers. So some person might come in many, many times a week. So if here's somebody who comes in all the time, they come in and do our animal care at the Anita Purvis Nature Center. So they'll take care of weighing the animals, feeding the animals, cleaning the cages.
That's right.
That's an intensive thing. So they're there a lot, and then they kind of get to know and bond with the animals a little bit. But somebody might just come for an hour or two and want to put in some time, and they help with a special event and check people in. So you could do any number of things, and that person would just have 1 or 2 hours, but this other person might have hundreds of hours. So we counted the whole total hours rather than the people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
do you have enough volunteers?
We always can use more volunteers. Always can use more volunteers. So, and especially one area that we didn't touch on yet was coaching. Mm-hmm. We exclusively use volunteers who are college age and older to coach our youth sports. So this is our indoor basketball, our indoor soccer, t-ball, and outdoor soccer programs. And all of these are run by volunteers. Mm. And so without that, we have a real struggle getting the kids to be able to play on a team. So we need those grown-ups to come on out and help. You don't have to be a parent. A lot of the times it ends up being a parent of a child because they're there already and they want to help their child. Mm-hmm. But, you know, community members are more than welcome to help with that. So there's opportunities in the fall, the winter, and the spring. We have also into the t-ball is more of a summer sport, so that's May into July. And it's a couple evenings a week, approximately an hour-ish.
Now, what is t-ball?
T-ball is the precursor to baseball, and you actually set a ball on a stand, on a tee, and they hit it that way. So that's the youngest group. Mm-hmm. And then they're just learning how to hit the ball and run the bases, make sure they go the right direction. Some kids show up and go to third base instead of first base, so they're a lot of fun to watch. But we really do need those adult volunteers to make it happen. And then they also have, at the older levels, they'll have some games on Saturdays. If we're talking soccer, they'll do a couple of practices a week, and then they'll have a game on a Saturday morning. So you're looking at 3 to 4 hours a week, you know, and then whatever your transportation time is to get to the practice site. But the kids just need that adult guidance. And you don't have to be a fabulous athlete to do it. You just have to be able to run a practice. We do provide you with all of the rules. We provide you with a meeting at the beginning. You can ask questions of the more seasoned coaches if you'd like to. They kind of want to be mentors to new coaches and help them out. And you can partner up with somebody. That can also be easier on the supervision. So, you know, if you have a large group of people, maybe it's not easy for one adult to handle 12 kids. But if you have two adults with you doing it, you could break them up into groups. You could, you know, have one person dealing with somebody off to the side with some skills, or in somebody else doing something. It might just help you mentally to feel more prepared. So we're just looking for them all year long. And you can either look on our website where you click volunteers, or you can give a call to us and talk with either. We have a development manager, and she handles volunteers across the district, so she could help place you either in that or some other volunteer capacity. Her name is Ellen, and she deals with all of our volunteers. Or you could talk specifically with the athletic staff who deal with the youth coaches.
Okay.
So you have a lot of opportunities.
So do you do background checks on volunteers?
Yes, you do have to have that done. And there is, you know, like I said, there's a little bit of a meeting and training kinds of things, but a lot of it's, you know, just you and your creativity too. So,
okay.
Especially people who have some background who enjoy working with kids, we'd love it.
Okay, yeah. So you definitely need volunteers for those.
Definitely. And then there's also opportunities in our natural areas.
I see them out there.
Yep, so they can do that. We have natural areas work days, and they're called Stewardship Saturdays. And you can come and join for a couple of hours on a Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And you work with our natural areas technician, our staff member, and we pull out invasive species, and we can maybe fix some trails with wood chips and those kinds of things and help improve those natural areas.
Meadowbrook Park, is that part of the...
That is one of the natural areas, yes.
I'm telling you that... What was that built? I remember when it used to not be there. We live not too far from there.
Yeah, so it's come in phases. It actually became part of the Park District land many, many years ago in the early 1970s. But it actually then didn't get officially developed until starting in the very early 1990s was the first time they did a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they had just finished maybe a year or two before I started getting all the hard paths poured.
Mm-hmm.
They put up the pavilions, but the playground was built in 1995. So it's been 20 years since that.
I remember all of that. I used to take my kids over there when it was like just wilderness.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But so they've been thinking about this area turning into this for a long time?
Right. And that's how a lot of what we do happens. Wow. So we have under development that really nobody but the volunteers and staff are working on right now is a new area called a wet prairie. And it's a wetland. And it's going to be in, if you know where the Urbana Dog Park is, that is...
Look at that. Ivy on my gosh. Ankle.
Okay. So it's out on it's out in East Urbana. The road is called Country Club on one side of Cunningham, but it's Perkins on the other side. And so you head to the east about a mile and a half, and that's our dog park. If you go behind the dog park, it's fenced off right now. We're working on a wetland area right now. And ultimately that will be open to the public. It's going to be a great place for water birds to see them because it'll be marshy.
Wow.
So we've been working, that's land that we've rented from the sanitary district that they no longer needed for what they were doing years and years ago. So we had to check the soil quality, make sure it's graded correctly, make sure the right plants are there. So this is a, you know, 15, 20, 30, 40 year process ultimately as you keep moving forward. And if some year we might have a boardwalk out there in the far future. So it'll hopefully be another developed place like Meadowbrook that people can enjoy. But it often takes a generation to get through a big park like that with natural areas and restoring them to what they need to be.
Wow. Well, I tell you, Meadowbrook is, for pharmaceutical companies, it's probably not a good park because I think it's great for depressed people, anxiety, you know. It helps. Oh, my goodness gracious. That is one paradise. I tell you.
And
I'm
hope
so
to do
thankful.
That same kind of thing with Crystal Lake, too. Add more trails.
This.
And this summer, I don't know the exact date, but late summer, we're going to be working with the city of Urbana as they repave Broadway Street.
Mm.
We're also going to do a companion trail off to the side on along Broadway. So we will have a hard surface trail that goes up toward north, toward the Anita Purvis Nature Center and the Crystal Lake Park Family Aquatic Center. So that'll be the first of hopefully many future trail additions in Crystal Lake Park, which is a nice place to be too, but different. Obviously, you have prairie out in Meadowbrook, and you have forest in Crystal Lake. So a couple of different opportunities, depends on what your mood is for which kind of outdoors thing do you want to do.
Right. I think, I mean, when you think about it, when I think about it, I think the parks, just the idea of park districts. Do you know when they started the idea, inception of park districts?
Well, I'm not sure the very first park district. We were the seventh in the state of Illinois.
Really?
1907. And so 1907. So more than 100 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And there was a man called J.C. Blair, and he was a University of Illinois professor in horticulture, and he studied with the man who designed Central Park in New York City. And so he was very interested in community parks, thought they were a great benefit to the community, and was out there in the community pushing for this. So he and a number of folks petitioned and got the voters to say, yep, we want a park district. And so we're our own unit of government. We're not part of the city of Urbana. So there, Illinois has all kinds of little governments like this, like a township and a sanitary district. And so we're our own unit of government. We do our own property tax. And that's why people have to vote yes or no for new things, because we do collect our own property taxes for things and bond issues and those kinds of things to build new parks and maintain facilities and build new facilities for the community. So the boundaries are roughly the same as the city of Urbana, but they're not exactly the same. So our boundaries, in some places there's parts of Urbana that are not in the Urbana Park District, and but very close. And so most people in Urbana are part of the Urbana Park District. And you can, be thankful for those folks back in 1907 that decided, and Crystal Lake Park was the first park. It was a private park first. And so then that was the first park.
Private park?
Yeah, it was a private park. Someone had made it a recreation area that people could go to before Park District existed. And so you could go out there and I think just pay to be part of the activities on the lake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. It was a private park.
Private park. But now it's a public park.
Yeah, so. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so now you also provide, scholarship, financial assistance.
Financial aid, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and those are also for folks who are in the boundaries of the Urbana Park District. Okay. We always get more requests for financial aid than we have funding. So we'll talk about a couple of things with that. We're able to give partial fee waivers to people because we want more people to be able to do it. So the more money we would give to an individual, we couldn't spread it out. So we give about 50% fee waivers to people to help reduce those costs for resident rates for our programs. I can't give you a percentage, but the majority of our requests come for our summer camp programs. Kids are there with us all summer, and it's a child care option for people. And if you're there all summer, it can be a very expensive proposition. So that's when most people make their requests. But you can make a request for other programs if you want a family member to be in dance, or if you want to be part of some other kind of program that we have, swim lessons. You can make a request for a fee waiver for that. The guidelines are roughly based on the same financial guidelines as the school district's free and reduced lunch. Okay. So if you know what those guidelines are, they're similar. You're asked to bring in some documentation. Our program guide has a whole section that explains what documents you need to bring. And we have a staff member who's specifically dedicated to help get you through the scholarship process. You come to the Phillips Recreation Center and get it filled out, and then that goes on to a staff person who helps distribute those funds. So we've already, I heard from that individual, exceeded the number of requests for last year, this year, for all the whole year for scholarship money. So people can donate to this fund, the Youth Scholarship Fund. They can do that online at any time they want to. If they just feel like doing that, they can go in our online registration and click, I want to support the Youth Scholarship Fund. Or when they register for a program, they can add that. So do you want to add a little bit
amount
to that? So you can click a box for that, or on the paper form if you're going to do that in person, or if you're doing it by phone on the credit card, you can say, I'd like to add a little bit to the Youth Scholarship Fund. Also, our Turkey Trot event, which is our annual...
That's a turkey day, right?
Annual fun run on Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. We've been asking folks to help support the Youth Scholarship Fund by bringing a little extra cash on that day. Mm-hmm. That helps us raise money. And the Yoga in the Park program that's going on now on summer Saturdays.
It's
going on right now.
And it's free.
And it's free right in Meadowbrook
now.
Park. Right now it's happening.
Right now.
And you can bring some cash with you. It's a free program, but if you want to donate a little to the Youth Scholarship Fund, I know they have a few hundred dollars already raised this summer. So they're looking for more by the end of the summer, and that can help support more kids going to camp.
So
or dance, things. Or swim lessons, or anything that they choose.
Awesome. So let's talk about this particular place. It says, people don't know about this. Like you mentioned, we spoke about blah, 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 blah. There are many smaller neighborhood parks. And this one, Disc Golf in Loman Park.
Yeah.
What
that's,
is that?
Disc
park,
golf. It is also called Frisbee golf.
Oh.
And so it is a sport where you don't need anything but a Frisbee. Or some people get into it, and there's actually a real serious group of people who have special kinds of discs, and they're actually related in name to golf clubs. So they would actually call this particular disc their putter and this particular disc their driver.
Oh.
So you have to be kind of fancy to do that. But if you just bring a regular old disc, you stand at the beginning where and you go through 9 holes, and they're different baskets. And so you have to shoot for the basket, and each throw is the equivalent of a swing, and they tell you what par is. So if it takes you 3 throws to get it in there, that would be the equivalent of 3 golf swings, and you can score yourself and find out how well you do. And it's great fun for all ages. If you want to have young kids and grandparents, it's a great multi-generational thing, because you can, you know, have a lot of fun seeing who can do the best or maybe the worst. Maybe you want to have a booby prize and say,
now
who is the worst today?
So where's Loman Park?
Loman Park is located between Florida and Colorado, and it is east of Philo Road, and it is contiguous with Thomas Paine School. It does not have any parking area with it officially, so you have to walk there, bike there, or park somewhere nearby. Mm-hmm. But it's on land. At that time in the 60s, we had some joint school park combinations, so we got parkland, they got school in the same vicinity. So there's also soccer practice there, and there's a cricket pitch there. So the University of Illinois Cricket Club plays there. They have games from... all during the warm weather. They have teams from other parts of the country come, so if you want to check out cricket here in the university community, you can see them playing. But yeah, you just bring your disc and go, and they're numbered, so 1 through 9, and walk through. Some of them are in the open area, and some of them are under trees, and they're a little more tricky.
So we have to get
it into a basket.
Get it into a basket.
It's throw it and it lands in the basket.
And the basket is made of, it's got a smaller... solid disc on the bottom, like looks like a garbage can made of chains, I guess. So you can actually sneak it in between all of these chains. You might get it in sideways and it would still count. So it's not a solid basket. You could squeeze it in. It's kind of a strange looking thing.
Okay.
But yeah.
Have you played?
I have played poorly. But I have played, and it's pretty fun.
And just a regular Frisbee?
Just regular Frisbee, yeah.
Okay, until you get really into it.
Yeah, and until you get to, they do come out there and practice, and you'll see people with their bags of different discs, and they don't say Frisbee on them. They're special disc golf companies do that. They have tournaments all over the place, so...
Never
amazing what kinds of sports are out there, right?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that'll get the body moving and having fun, you know, that's really important. Let's see now. Yoga in the Park. So we talked about Yoga in the Park, and that has been going on.
This is the third summer.
So I realized it last year, and I said this year I was going to do it.
Yes. So we've had it going on since June, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 to 10. We have a different yoga instructor almost every week, and I know in the past they've done different kinds of yoga. So you could try, I don't know all the names of them, but Iyengar yoga and all the different names of them. One year they even had laughter yoga, and a specialist came and did laughter yoga with people for an hour. So there's just different opportunities to learn it. You can bring your own mat, or you can have one of ours, borrow one. Come a couple minutes beforehand, because we do ask you to sign a waiver before you participate in it, but it is completely free. And you just enjoy the beautiful setting, relaxing setting out in the grass at Meadowbrook Park behind the Prairie Play Playground, which is the one that is on Windsor Road, a little bit past Vine Street. and just come and enjoy a new opportunity. Try yoga. Yoga is something that I think scares a lot of people, just because people see people trying to put feet over heads, or you know, bending over backwards. Or, but it can also just be a relaxation tool for people, and they don't have to be the world's most flexible individual to do it. So it's a good introductory opportunity for you.
And it's free.
And it's free.
And it's out in the open.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. I mean, yoga in the park. Who thought of that?
It was the joint thought of some yoga instructors in the community. One of their philosophies is that they give back to the community.
Awesome.
So this is their free teaching. Mm-hmm. They teach, you know, in studios and at the park district. So this is their way of giving back.
I think that is absolutely wonderful. And now you've got yoga, chair yoga.
Yeah, this is something brand new to us. They're going to be part of our fall program catalog. We will be mailing that out next week, and so people should start seeing that in their mailboxes, or they can find it online the first week of August. But in September, we have chair yoga. So you do this yoga move in and around a chair. So that's helpful for people with even more limited mobility or concerns about balance. They might not want to bend over and be fearful of, you know, their balance, so this would be falling or, you know, whatever. So you can come see a demonstration of that on August 11th and the Phillips Recreation Center, and check it out, see what you think.
Can you say something about the Greenway?
The Greenway, sure. Yeah, as much as I know, tell me what you want to know.
It's part of the park district, isn't it, or not?
Well, we are part of a multi-agency attempt at getting bike trails throughout the whole community. So we are one part of that.
I'm talking about the development on Race Street. You know the.
Oh, the where exactly are you speaking of?
Well, at the Silver Creek restaurant. I also call the Boneyard to Silver Creek.
Okay, that is a City of Urbana project.
Okay, so but the park district's not a part of that. Well,
no, but they did an excellent job about redoing that access to the Boneyard Creek over there on Race Street.
My understanding was that it was supposed to connect downtown to the park.
Yeah, ultimately, we would love to see how that would go. We're still in discussions with the city of how we can open up the sites between downtown and get people north into the park and vice versa, because they're really not far.
I'm sure the city would look well upon the park district putting some events in there. I expected a little bit more of a performance space, so I guess I have to take it up with the city.
That's still to come. I know there's a public arts coordinator who might be interested in that kind of thing as well. So but we do want to see that, you know, go north towards the park and have people come there and vice versa.
Right. It's a good place to stroll now, but there's also some ambiguities of what's happening on the east end of it, because it kind of comes up to the Station Theater and just sort of ends, whereas it'd be a great place for a green room performance before a play or something.
That would be fun.
Anyway, okay, well, it's not your bailiwick, but I wanted to get it out there.
Yeah, but it is still a beautiful space.
Oh, it's. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is that you have these free fitness week.
Yes. So every, it's the week before our fitness classes start each program season. So the last set ends, we have a break week, essentially. And so this is our free week. You can try any fitness class with a couple of exceptions.
Tai Chi
and Transformers fitness doesn't count. But the rest of them, you can do as many as fit your schedule, or if you just want to try one. The group fitness classes would count at the Phillips Recreation Center. At Brookins Gym, we have group fitness there, and then also our water exercise classes are all part of the free fitness week. Go give them a try. They're in our program catalog to see the whole schedule of what's available. We've got lunchtime, we've got before work, we've got after work, whatever might fit your schedule. If one isn't your cup of tea, you could try another one. And then you always can just try one fitness class for free. If you want to try one before you sign up for the class, that is an available option at the Park District. So you check in at the front desk and say, I'd like to try this class for free, see if it's one I want, and they'll work with you on that.
Now, what about these flexible fitness punch cards?
Those are a great option for people with busy and strange varied schedules, and you can't always make it to every class. So it's basically a punch card that is for 10 classes within a particular group of classes. So we've got one for group fitness, one for water exercise specifically, and one for yoga and Pilates. So you buy the punch card, and then every time you go to the class, you show it to your instructor and they punch it. So you'll have 10 classes. If you want to go on only Mondays, then you've got 10 weeks of Mondays, or if you want to go Mondays and Fridays, and or if you want to do yoga on Monday and Pilates on Thursday. So you can just be a little more flexible in your fitness options that way, and they don't expire. Once you purchase them, they're good.
Robert, do you have any questions for her? I'm telling you.
You covered everything. You didn't say much about the dog park, which we really like.
I didn't say much about
the
dog park. Now is
Lady, you are you listening to the radio? That's our dog.
Now is the time to get your pass for half price for the rest of 2015. Right, so if you haven't tried the dog park, this is a good time to do it. So the dog park is 10 acres. It is 10 acres of fenced space, and it's the only place officially you are allowed to have your dog off leash at the Urbana Park District. Right. But it's a great opportunity to meet other dog owners and dog lovers, and you can let your dog run. It's designed for members, so you'll want to have a vaccinated dog, and you'll need to prove that your dog's been vaccinated for the safety of the members and the dogs and the people. And also, if you do want to try it, we have a trial option. You can pay $5 at the gate, but you have to sign a waiver saying, yes, my dog is vaccinated, and you put your money and your waiver in, and you can give it a try. So, but if you're going to do that more than one time, even membership is a better way to go price-wise. But it's good for dog socialization and people socialization.
Right. It's only like $38 a year.
Yep, and now it's then $19 for the rest of this year. So it's pretty good value. There's a smaller fenced area for people who are either have a small dog or a fraidy dog, and you know you still want to let
a fraidy owner. Right,
exactly. If you don't necessarily want to be loved by 10 dogs at once, then maybe you want to stand in there. So, but the dogs do have a real different way of behaving when they're on a neutral territory. You know, they just run free in packs, and it's just really fun to watch them make dog friends and have a good time.
Socialization.
Get their exercise and
learn how to socialize with other dogs. They know how to back off.
Yes, they do. And but we do have rules, you know, if you and we want the members to this has always been an issue since it's, you know, we come out there and check, but no one's on staff 24 hours a day. Right. We want people to self-police. We want people to be empowered to say, I don't want your dog messing with my dog, or, you know, please, you know, can we want people to, you know, if they see an issue, to report it. We want it to be a pleasant place for people. And if there's aggressive behavior, that's not a pleasant place for people. So, and do a good job of self-policing. If you even think that this might not be the day for my dog, you know, what, my dog just had surgery, or my dog is under the weather or old, or Don't put your dog in a situation where they're going to feel threatened either.
They do have the smaller area.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yes, they have the smaller area to get used to it and get started. So, but it's really, people love it.
I've gotten poison ivy twice.
Yes, that is a danger. It is right by our natural area. So if you are at all concerned, wear long socks tennis shoes, because there are some spots under the canopy of the trees that may be especially friendly for, or along the corners for, poison ivy. So it's a use at your own risk kind of place, and I feel bad for you, but she's itching right now just talking about it. her head's like, no.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Last year and this year. So, yes, that's what Robert advised. You know, you got to start wearing the longer socks, not the little cute socks with the shorts and the
I know it's hot out, but protect your skin, right?
I'm going to up here because it's just right on my ankles. Yeah. I knew. And then I got the little blister now. It's
dear.
Oh, and the itching. Oh. Hey, Dana, I must say this to you. I have to say this to you. You are absolutely marvelously wonderful person to have on the radio and to talk about the Park District. You are so informed, isn't she, Robert? Mm-hmm. I mean, she is knowledgeable. I mean, she knows about the Urbana Park District. She knows. Right. And it's just wonderful.
And it's open.
Yes.
Open. You're open. Mm-hmm. And it's open. It's in conflict with what they were telling us at Honey Band. If parks would be exclusive and you wouldn't have access to them.
Right. Well, we want people to feel like the parks are their parks. You know, they are paying for the services. You know, either whether or not they're participating in a program that they pay for, their property taxes support this effort. And so their parks, they are their parks, and they should feel like they're their parks and they should come and enjoy them and, you know, kind of take ownership and feel like it's their space. And maybe that's the entree that somebody needs to maybe want to come and do a program with us. You know, maybe they haven't in the past, but they thought, oh, you know, I really liked that park. Maybe I'll check out a program too. So hopefully we'll get people through lots of venues or people who like you who take Tai Chi and now you learned a little bit more about other parts of the park district. So just one little part of the park district can lead you to a lot of other parts of it.
Mm-hmm. I took swimming lessons, but I still haven't learned how to swim. So I've got to take up, I got to get back on that. I want to know how to swim. It's been wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Are you done?
I can be done. It looks like we are done. So thank you so very much.
And
appreciate
your time. So if you want to know more about the Urbana Park District, you can go online to urbanaparkdistrict.org.
Urbanaparks.org.
Mm-hmm. You can find that very easily. Google everything now. So that's not uneasy to do. And then also volunteer and all.